Okay, so chapter 3 deals with storage, right? I told you guys the difference between storage and memory, right? Yeah. What's the difference?
Memory is the capability to, like, RAM. And then storage is, like, in a hard drive, and
it's always there, right?
Temporary. Unless it can, storage can be kept with the computer off. Right?
Okay. Yes, you're just saying it. I guess a little more complicated, but yeah, you're right. Corey, you're gonna.
Storage is more permanent, whereas memory is temporary.
Definitely. So, like I said, you're right. Just saying it. So yeah. So memory, short term, temporary. Like kind of an example Patrick used, RAM. Right. Things are stored there temporarily, and then once the power is disconnected to it, it goes away. It erases. It's not there the next time you look at it. But storage, things are there permanently, they're there long term. When you think about like a CD, when you store data on that CD, even though it doesn't have power, the data is still there, the information is still there, it doesn't go anywhere, all right? So those are kind of the things that we're gonna be dealing with. Storage, like I say, we're thinking long term. All right, so it starts off talking about some characteristics of storage devices. And two of the terms you're gonna hear is storage medium and storage device. Really simple, the medium is where the data is actually stored on, right? And the device is what's going to read the medium, what's gonna read where the information is. So easy example, when you think about a CD is the medium, because that's where the data is stored on the CD. When you plug in the CD to be read, it goes into the device, which is going to be able to read that CD. That make sense? All right, so if we were talking about a USB flash drive, would that be the medium or would that be the device?
Medium.
Why?
Because
that's where the data is stored on. It's stored on the medium, right? And that USB flash drive plugs into a device. Whatever is going to read or access that medium, all right? So those are some characteristics off the back. Storage medium, storage device, and we'll look at some more. So it gives us some examples of what they look like, which we kind of just went over there. All right, so then it talks about some other characteristics, random versus sequential. First of all, do you guys know what this is?
VHS.
Videotape?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Anybody never seen this before?
I haven't.
Okay. I just want to throw this in. I ask my kids that I teach all the time. They're like anywhere from like 3 to 10. Uh-huh. None of them know what a CD is.
Damn.
Wow.
They still have CDs.
Like the only ones are like the ones that play like PS4 or Xbox.
Got it.
Besides that, kids don't know what CDs are. So we're at that point now.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It's crazy. Interesting. Now, I had a student who didn't understand, you know, the save sign in like Microsoft Word. Yeah. They didn't understand what that symbol was. They didn't understand it was actually a floppy disk of how things and data used to be saved. They're like, yeah, this symbol appeared. And they called it something else. I think they said, like, put the trash can or something. I'm like, what? No, it's a floppy disk. Like, what's that? So we're at that point where a lot of technology that, you know, we used to use and used to have, like, is now, like, gone, right? It's not being used, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but there's other ways that we actually, you know, listen to music now instead of CDs, right? We just download, have the MP3s, which is easier, right? We always have it. We don't have to sit in our car, flop through our kind of CD cassette book, and then trying to figure out what we want to listen to. So talks about random versus sequential. And that's basically the way that you access the data, all right? So sequential, which is like this VHS or like cassette tape. You guys familiar with cassette tapes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Walkman.
So the way that you access the data on a VHS or cassette tape is in a sequential order, meaning that you have to access it in the order that it was actually recorded in. So an example, if you're, let's use a cassette tape, right? And it's like you're listening to track 2 on your cassette tape. If you want to get to track 4, how do you get there?
Fast forward.
You have to fast forward, right? There's no way to skip track 3 to automatically get to track 4, the track that you actually want. So you have to watch it or listen to it in the order that it was actually recorded in. So that is sequential access, all right? Random access is where you can access any random song or scene throughout that device, right? So if you were listening to track 2 here and you wanted to get to track 6, you just click track 6 and get there. You don't have to fast forward through all the other tracks in between. You can randomly get to any place that you want to get to. All right, so that's the difference between random versus sequential. All right. You guys remember Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not there yet, too. Okay, that's good, that's good. I hope I never get to that point where, irrelevant as far as the stuff that I'm, examples that I'm using. So, like, if I'm talking about Blockbuster and the kids are just looking at me like, never heard of that. So I just got to stay on top of things, make sure you guys are...
Tower Records.
I know, right? All right, so basically this kind of gives you a definition of random versus sequential, which I just kind of broke down to you guys. So you can access it in any data, any location. You think about like your USB flash drive, you can access any file in any order that you would want. Like you don't have to go through this necessarily sequence of things. Versus sequential, which you have to access it in that kind of physical order that it is. And then volatility, we talked about that, right? Volatility, non-volatile versus volatile. You guys remember the difference? Corey, what was it?
It's volatile memory if it goes away when the computer's turned off.
Definitely. All right, so when the power is disconnected, like RAM, it's volatile, meaning once power is connected, information goes away. Non-volatile, information constantly stays there. All right, so the next part talks about the file name, and folders, which you guys should be familiar with and understand kind of what those are, how to create files. The file name is given to you, folder, pretty basic information there. I don't want to waste time. Batteries or something. All right, so it talks about some physical file representation and just the different types of technology that we use to actually store information, store data. So the three major types are magnetic hard drives, optical disks, and flash memory, which uses electrons. All right, and so magnetic hard drives are still kind of the norm in a sense. Everything is moving now towards flash, moving towards SSDs and things like that. Most people, like I say, don't use CDs anymore. How many of you guys still use CDs? Okay. No, you're good. Still use CDs?
Yeah, like buy them on purpose.
You buy them on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay, like music?
Yeah, because then it's not just on the whole directory of music, you have like a specific one. You have to listen to it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I have a lot of CDs and Pondos filled with downloaded movies.
Okay, so you have CDs for downloaded movies? Nice.
A lot.
Okay, hopefully they're legal, so that's good. Kate, do you?
Yeah, favorite artist still like
releases
like, CDs
because
they also have like the photo album and all that stuff in there.
Gotcha. Definitely. I got a mixtape coming out. so I'll let you know. And Brian, you said Ryan. You said you see CDs?
Yeah, mainly movies.
Mainly movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Anybody else? Do you use CDs? Cool.
Occasionally, I buy DVD.
Okay. Cool. I'll rent Redbox, so I guess that's a form of it.
Why?
Right? Why? It's cheap.
Redbox cheaper than Netflix?
They have options.
I already have Netflix. but what's it called? Redbox has newer movies.
Yeah.
like sooner before Netflix. It's only like $1.50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never used the sound. I just thought it'd be like $8.
No, it's $1.50.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be cheaper if you get that code.
If you get, sometimes you get a code, they'll email you a code.
Uh-huh.
You get like 50 cents off or a dollar,
right,
or
one,
you
get
a
free
one.
Yeah,
it's pretty cheap. You gotta go use Redbox the rest of your
life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Video
games. Print the photo.
Print the photo.
I swear I've never done it, but you can like.
Oh, finesse.
Yeah, you just put in like a blank CD with put the real disc in your printer, photocopy it, glue that piece of paper that looks like the disc onto the other disc, and return it to Redbox.
That's messed up.
Wait, what do you do?
Same barcode.
No, don't share that information, Patrick. I mean, I'm sure, definitely work. But then, if the other person reports it, then they would be able to trace it back to you.
Yeah.
So
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Carlos, you were going to say something?
No.
What were you going to say, Carlos? No. You did that last class. I'm not going to let you get away with it this class. What were you going to say?
You brought sadness to me,
man. Huh?
Because I rented a movie on Redbox last week. I forgot to return it.
Okay.
I haven't had the time, so I'm like, shit.
That's why you don't use Redbox.
What? Well, I stay close to one, so I normally just walk back and forth.
Like grocery store, buy groceries.
Yeah. Return the movie, man. Don't do that. Not yet. Give me a minute. I'm almost done. So these are the three major types of storage technology that we use. Like I said, optical discs are kind of fading away, though. Most companies don't even like release software on a CD. Everything is kind of digital download.
Yeah, like when you're building a computer, the worst thing to do is I'm pretty sure you don't have one either, a CD drive reader in your custom.
I got one just because.
Just for software, right?
Just because, yeah.
Yeah, I learned the hard way when I was building my computer, because I was like, all right, it's time to. I can't connect to the internet, I can't do anything, because it's a CD. I'm like, who the hell uses a CD still?
Yeah.
So then it kind of just stuck there. You're just like, all right, I'm going to go on Amazon, buy this stupid CD reader, and then wait a whole week, get it on, just get it installed. So.
Yeah, it can. It's a lot of people don't have optical discs, optical drives on their computer anymore. I just had a little extra money and was like, I guess I'll get it just in case. I'd rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. But they are, like I say, most companies are just distributing everything through digital download, which on their end is better for them because they don't have to package these CDs, buy them to be able to ship them. It's just easy to go to their site, download it, and then you have access to it. You didn't install it on a flash drive? Somewhere else?
My OS was a flash drive. But then I forgot what was a specific program I was trying to install. And I didn't have any dongle or I didn't have anything in my the thing for your PCI Express for wireless.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't have a Ethernet cable, so I was like,
Gotcha.
I have to wait a minute.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it sucks.
Cool. Sorry. It happens. All right, so this is showing that a standard hard drive stores most programs, data for personal computers. And we talked about internal, external, it can be inside the main unit system, unit, the tower, or it can be located outside, kind of like what we see here. And some are available with built-in encryption. You guys know what encryption is?
I know what that is.
Security,
right. And what does it do, Jim?
Data stored on these internal hard drives.
Wait, no, you're not reading that. What is encryption?
It's in scramble, the encoding, so they can't unscramble or something like that.
Yeah, so basically it takes the data and scrambles it so that if anyone accesses the data that's not supposed to have access to it, they're not able to understand it. All right, it looks like random symbols, numbers, letters. Like it doesn't make sense if you're just looking at something that's been encrypted. All right, and it's not until it's either supposed to go to that person or that person has the key to basically decrypt the message. And once they're able to decrypt it, then they're able to see the message in plain text. But that's what encryption means. That's what it does. Encryption is big now because a lot of people are having their data stolen. And if it's not encrypted, then people have access to it in plain text. But if your data is decrypted, or is encrypted, then someone would have to figure out your password to decrypt it to be able to gain access to it. You're gonna say something, Arista?
Yeah, so when you're building these like encrypted devices, like as a company, do you set it to like randomly scramble it, or is it like a, is it a pattern of how it scrambles information?
It's a random algorithm that's generated through that, whatever type of encryption it is. Because there's different types, there's different like strengths that can, you know, they have like military grade encryption, which is like really, really long and difficult to break. Then they also have like a kind of a standard encryption. It just depends on what type of encryption you're using.
So like if you just like repeatedly keep getting hacked, like by different people, like would each individual like hacker have the same scrambled information, or was it?
No, it's all random. It's all different. Yeah. So it'll be different every time. And then there's no way to kind of like reverse, to go back to like to see the scrambled text and then it's like kind of reverse it to figure it out. It doesn't necessarily work backwards that way.
Have you ever seen the movie The Imitation Game?
The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch about making the first computer.
The Turing computer.
On Netflix. Oh, but you use Redbox. So
no, I have Netflix also though.
But no, it's also it's World War II, not breaking the Nazi code, and it's basically, you could say it's a 10% of like a documentary of building the first computer.
What is it called again?
The Imitation.
And like,
it's a good movie. Like they scramble the codes by like intercepting like Nazi. Like their, like their success knows, like, oh, we took down this American ship. And like they figure out like by the text like what letter means what and like how to like how their code works.
Got you. Okay. It's kind of like a cipher text.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, I'm gonna check that out. Is it a good movie?
Oh, it's my one of my
favorites. It's long, but it's good.
It's long, but it's good. Okay. Maybe I'll show that on the next rainy day. Because that's what I do on rainy days. We watch movies.
Like when it literally rains or when you...
Yeah, like if it's raining outside, like we'll watch a movie. But it's not raining now, so we're good. Alright, so I'm just joking, guys. We don't watch movies. I'm sorry.
It's raining.
Alright, so these just kind of show some different ways to encrypt it. So like all the data that's on this drive here, if you don't put in the passcode to decrypt it, like if somebody stole this drive from you, they wouldn't be able to have access to the information that's there. Everything would be encrypted, everything, they wouldn't be able to understand or see any data that's there. Right? And same thing here, like you have to read your fingerprint, and once it reads that, then all the data is decrypted so that you're able to understand and actually use that data. So these are just some ways you can kind of, you know, protect, kind of save yourself. And have you guys heard about, like, ransomware? Like, ransomware, like, companies getting hit with, like, viruses. And so, like, a lot of companies, hospitals, banks, they were, within, like, the past 2 to 3 years, got hit with a lot of ransomware. And basically, like, somebody sent the email or sent something and somebody opened it up. And then a hacker gained access to all of their data and information. And so they basically took their information, took their data from like the hospital or the bank, and then the hacker themselves encrypted it. So they put a password on it so that the company didn't have access to their own data. And they basically, they post this ransom message that says, pay us this amount of dollars and we'll give you your data back. If not, every day that price is gonna go up. And so that's how a lot of companies were hit, because they didn't use encryption. Their data was not encrypted, it wasn't well protected, and now hackers basically took it and stole their own information and held it hostage from companies.
Siskiyou, kinda?
Siskiyou?
Is that what you're
talking
about?
Kinda similar. The big one was like kinda WannaCry type. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, heard of that one. That was like kinda the biggest recent one, virus that kinda got hit with a lot of people. It was WannaCry, and it was...
You say, wait, WannaCry?
WannaCry. It made you want to cry once they... it was...
Do they usually pay the ransom?
Depends on the company. All right, so it depends on how well your backup procedure is. If you have your data backed up, then it makes no sense to pay them this money when you can kind of start over and get your data back. But if you don't have any backup, then you're forced to pay them to kind of continue your business or start over with
like
nothing.
They can't find them. Like, they're too hidden.
Yeah, they're hidden. And they're going to ask for payment in Bitcoin, which can't be traced.
So,
it's a tough situation to be in if you get hit with that.
Do you know anyone who invested in Bitcoin at $20,000?
No.
No.
I know a lot of people are like kind of talking about investing in it, but I don't know anybody personally who invested in it.
You invest in cryptocurrency?
No, I haven't gotten into investing yet. I'm just trying to survive. Yeah. And I haven't really gotten into investing yet. I've been talking to like a couple of the professors dealing with like accounting, finance, things like that.
Too. It's all about aggregate cost or what's it called? Where like over t- like that's why they say start young because like it increases. No, it's we learned it in statistics and we learned it in business calc. I dropped both of them, but it was like every year like you earn money like you. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So it's like the younger you start, like it's like 100% chance they have like more power to gain money.
Gotcha. The only thing is, like, from talking to them, they were like, you don't necessarily invest money to make money. You invest, like, extra money that you have.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I'm still trying to get some extra money so that I can invest it and let that grow.
Yeah.
But I need to get myself together first. Just an illusion. Josh, you're gonna say?
Yeah, when it got really big, because a lot of people just started curing it, like probably around like 5 years ago. They got really big with Ethereum, which is the specific cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
So people started buying the graphics cards, like GPUs. So a lot of people who wanted it for like gaming and stuff were all pissed. So a lot of the shops decided to mark it up really high for all the GPUs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ethereum just blocked. And one day it went from like a 500% decrease just one day, just blocked.
Wow.
So then, it's like Bitcoin. A lot of cryptocurrency just blocked.
Yeah.
And then everyone just decided to be like, crap. We just spent like thousands. People spent like $5,000 just on GPUs and then stack it for like, and then they just like fall into crap.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were like, a lot of hackers were basically kind of hacking other people's computer and using their computers for like data mining. So like if I gain access to Kevin's computer, then I can able to use his computer to do some data mining, look through, get some, you know, results and things like that. And then from there I can, you know, move on to other people's computer so that it kind of makes this almost supercomputer because you're using other people's CPU power to do all this work for you. So that's what a lot of kind of hackers were doing also.
Is that kind of like seeding when you use like a torrenting site? Like when you decide to torrenting for legal stuff. So you know how you become a seeder? So you use that and you become a seeder. Because you're leeching the info and when you seed, you decide that. It's like same thing, right?
I believe so. I haven't really, because I don't torrent, I'm legal. A lot of things that I do. Sorry, Josh. No. But no, I would have to look more into
that.
Wait,
is it a Tor browser? Is it legal?
Huh?
It's not legal?
Team
Tor browser?
No, you can use it.
Torrenting is technically not illegal. It's the information that you're getting that kind of makes it illegal.
Yeah.
But it's, like, torrenting itself
like
is
the
not. Yeah, they can't take you to jail for that. It's based off the thing that you're doing with that.
Have you heard that like rule where if you have the physical copy, then you can torrent it? Or is that just something I read somewhere?
So it's kind of like I guess they call it like a code of honor thing.
Yeah.
To where technically like it's yours, but because it's something that's sold for a profit,
mm-hmm.
like that doesn't mean that you're able to just give it away for free just because it's yours.
Yeah.
If you wanted to create a copy for yourself, then that's kind of like, you know, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But to give to others, then that kind of breaks the code of honor in commercial software, things like that. So, yeah.
Compound interest, that's what it's called.
Compound interest.
Compound interest.
Gotcha. Cool. Patrick, you want to say
something? You want to hear the story of how I crashed a quarter of a terabyte of RAM?
crashed a quarter of a terabyte of RAM. How'd that happen?
We were in a, what was that?
1045.
UCLA. So first off, I guess you say nerd alert. We were using like this program to run a magnet, to test the theoretical magnetic field around an atomic clock accelerator. Yeah, so that's not the important part. And when you're testing for magnetic fields, you're running in like meshes, and we accidentally made the meshes really small, which made a lot of them. And then when we sent it out to be processed, oh, this is at UCLA, so it was the UCLA Math and Applied Science server, and we sent out this calculation to see if the gas inside would be affected from the outside, and then like 17 seconds later, UCLA's computer system went down.
Wow.
Me and like four guys, we like kind of, I don't want to say fix it, we didn't get in trouble, because it was an accident,
yeah.
But one of the scariest moments of my life when we crashed UCLA's server.
Gotcha. And that, like, although it's like now you kind of look back on it and, you know, it's, you know, not a big deal.
Yeah, it's really not. But
if it had a bigger effect and impact, like, you probably would have been in a lot of
like,
trouble.
It was like at 9:30 on like a Thursday night.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that important, because that's why we had access to it. Was like, yeah, you can have it after hours.
Yeah.
And that's, we don't have it after hours anymore.
Gosh. Where was your guys' majors?
Well, I was just there as a friend. My major is accounting.
Okay.
His was mechanical engineering. It was his main project.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Trying to do satellite-free GPS.
Gotcha.
With atomic clocks and accelerators.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Nope. I don't understand like science like that. So. But no, it sounds interesting though. Sounds interesting. Definitely. all right. So this is just kind of showing the inside of a hard drive, what it looks like. All right. So if you were to open it up, kind of take off the metal case, this is what you would see. This is what it looks like. And the main parts that you want to know is like the read and write head. And so this kind of goes across scanning, looking for data as you're searching your computer or trying to find or retrieve information. And there's like four like kind of metal disks, and they all have a read and write head going across over the top of them. So it's kind of like the, you guys familiar with vinyl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of like that. You can have a needle, but it's not actually touching the disk. It's just hovering over it, and it goes across like really, really fast. And it's able to retrieve data. So anytime you're looking for something or you're trying to access data from here, then it takes time for these metal disks to be able to spin. The read and write head has to find that data and then send it to your RAM to be able to access that data. So that takes a little time, which is why SSDs are kind of a lot faster, because it has no moving parts, doesn't have to go and search for the data, knows kind of where it is, and it's able to just kind of upload it into RAM a lot faster. And I just want to kind of show you guys what it looks like when it's actually kind of moving. Let me see how I can do this. You guys see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. You see how fast that went?
Yeah. So hard drives are not waterproof. They were just kind of playing around in the last part. But you can just see kind of the way it works, like how fast it actually moves as it's searching for data, trying to retrieve data that you're trying to access.
If you want more storage, can't you just like get like 8 plates and arms and just have them all stacked? So it's like that.
You can, but typically you just buy another hard drive. Yeah. Got you. We're almost there. Okay, so SSD is another type of storage. Uses flash memory technology to store the data. Okay, there's no moving parts. It uses less power. And these are what most people would prefer or have in their computer, especially if you're building one. Most people go the route of having an SSD because your computer will run a lot faster. Even when you boot it up, when you cut it on, you'll be able to just cut it on and use it instead of kind of waiting for it to actually kind of load up and do all those things. So most people who build a computer will have an SSD and they have the magnetic hard drive. So you have the magnetic because you have more space to store a lot more information. But SSDs are a little more expensive than a standard magnetic hard drive. But with the magnetic, you can get a lot more space, more storage space than you can with an SSD. I haven't seen an SSD over, I want to say like a terabyte. I haven't seen one over that. And even that one's like, it's really expensive. It's like $1,000 or something like that.
So my boyfriend has like, it's called a Reed. And it has like multiple SSD things
okay.
together to
yes.
make it like really, really fast.
Yes. And that's actually towards the end of this slide. We kind of talk about the RAID and just how it saves and stores information. But those are cool also. It gives you a lot more space to be able to store data, backup data, and do things like that. Those are cool to have. A lot of companies do have like a RAID system set up. And like I said, we'll talk about it once we get towards the end of this chapter. And so SSDs are used for also our mobile devices. It uses flash memory. That's how we're able to access our phones, and our phones work faster. I think Androids, they use something else. I don't know. No, it's fine. They all use the same. Use flash memory. But it's just like I say, your computer will run a lot faster if you have an SSD than the standard magnetic. If you're looking to purchase a computer or a laptop, if it has like the option or choice to get like an SSD hard drive, definitely go that route. It'll pay off in the long run. It'll be better than having the standard magnetic one. All right. So we got 2 minutes.
And then don't pay your door like a 10% of the power?
Yeah, a lot less power than the standard magnetic one. Okay. So 1 minute. All right, so we'll stop it right here. All right. Any questions on anything?
Are we going to have that test next week?
So the test is next week, definitely, which will cover chapters 1 through 4.
Tuesday or Thursday?
I believe it's Thursday.
Thursday.
Yes. Brian? The homework, yes. I changed it, yeah. You'll see it once we get down there to labs. You'll see it.
Professor, when you gonna give out the test next week on 14th?
Yeah, whatever that Thursday is.
So you gonna get a study guide out when?
Most likely Thursday. Most likely Thursday. Yeah. Okay, so this was where we left off. We were talking about the different types of storage devices, different types of technology. We talked about the magnetic. We talked about the optical disk drives. And now we're on flash memory. All right. So flash memory, like I said, is chip-based memory. It's a lot faster. It's what's used in a lot of devices today. A lot of devices use flash memory as kind of like the standard technology that's used for most storage devices, like our phones, tablets, things like that. They all incorporate and use flash memory. Smartwatches, right? So if you have like an Apple smartwatch, I don't know what the other watches use, but I know Apple has flash memory, really fast, really good, reliable. like glasses, wristwatches, like I say, all those things, those little small kind of pieces of technology usually incorporate flash memory. Okay, and that's just kind of showing the size of it, the memory chip. You can see it's pretty small, like compared to the size of a paperclip. But that's what's in a lot of our devices, tablets, things like that. And you guys are familiar with flash memory, like SD cards and things like that for cameras, phones, right? So I don't have to spend too much time on this. And this is kind of what they look like, which you guys all should know or seen before. If you haven't, though, just raise your hand and I'll go through it. So some more flash memory cards there. Flash drives, you guys know what those are, right? Tim, you never know. So flash drives, like I say, pretty much what they are, what they look like, we use them to store, save information. Basically, an easier way to transport files, data from one place to the next place. Really convenient. They come in all shapes and sizes. They're attached to everything now. There's, you know, a lot of different types you can actually purchase and buy. So let's do this quick quiz. USBs are available today in capacities up to what? Do I say A, B, or C? How many people say A? How many people say B? How many people say C? Okay. Yes. But if you say B, then you would say that it's not A, right? What size do you guys have? How many guys have a 8 gig? How many you guys have 16? How many you guys have 32? How many you guys have 64? How many you guys have higher than 64? 128? Yeah, 128. Yeah. I have a 128 also. It's pretty cool. Never have to worry about running out of space. We'll show the answer later. Flash memory is a primary storage for mobile devices such as tablets, smartphones. True. The most common type of flash memory card today is the what? So it's the SD card. And there are, I have seen a couple 2 terabyte flash drives. Really expensive. And where they actually hold 2 terabytes is another question. But I have seen some that are like kind of being sold. So yes, and then that is true. All right, any questions there?
Or is the size any, is it any bigger just because it's 2 terabytes?
No, same size. It's just like a lot of, depending on where you're buying it from, like if you're buying it like from these online sites, then a lot of times they're not telling you exactly what you're getting. So they're telling you like there's maybe 2 terabytes available, but once you actually get it, you'll see it's probably not 2 terabytes. So it just depends on where you're getting it from. Definitely online, like your chances of getting what you actually want, like not Amazon, but through like other sketchier sites and places where people order cheap from. Like overseas and stuff like that. Just kind of be careful. Okay, so some other types of network storage, other types of storage systems. Network storage, basically where you're using network server to be able to store information, store data. The most common one you'll hear is like a NAS storage system. And it's basically, you're able to connect hard drives and devices connected together to be able to store data kind of in one unit, one place, one location. And I'll kind of show you a picture of what like one of the NAS systems look like, one of the common ones. A storage area network is another term of network storage, but the more common one is like a NAS system. You hear it referred to as NAS instead of network attached storage. People just say NAS. Like I said, devices are high performance storage systems connected individually to a network. Basically just gives you more storage, more space, and kind of this one system that allows you to be able to access that data a little more quickly. And like I said, something you can like purchase for home if you, you know, wanted to, had a lot of data, just kind of that extreme. You can definitely do that, but typically they're more so on the business side of things. And so this is what the NAS system like could potentially look like if you were to purchase that one. You can see it has basically the magnetic hard drive in there, and this can hold up to 12 terabytes of data. So it can hold like two magnetic hard drives. You can just put them in there, you connect that to your computer, and you can have access to it, all that information kind of at the same time. But that's what a NAS system look like. Let's say you can access it through the network where you can, you know, go on your computer, pull up that drive, and it has all the folders, everything attached to it. Kind of looks like a flash drive. Like when you plug it in, you have the files, the folders. That's in a sense how this will look, but except from accessing the flash drive, you're accessing it through these actual hard drives that are connected to that system. So another major type of storage system now that's pretty huge is cloud storage. And you guys should be kind of familiar with cloud storage. You guys use like Google Drive, OneDrive, iCloud. Those are all forms of cloud storage, where basically you're having access to your information, but it's all done online, it's all done through a network, where you never have to actually physically connect the device to your computer. It's all done through the internet. So if you have internet access, you have access to all your files, all your information, all your data. The one downside about it is if you don't have internet access, then you don't have access to all your information, all your data, because you can only access it through the internet, through the server. But it's pretty popular now, pretty huge. A lot of the applications of websites that you guys go to actually use cloud storage. You may not, you know, fully understand it or recognize it, but like that's the reason you can log in on like Facebook, and you can log in from any computer, no matter where you're at, but it still has all your messages, all your pictures, everything that you have, because it's all kept on the Facebook server. And once you log into that website, you're accessing the Facebook server that contains all your information and all your data. All right. So that's kind of the simple way that cloud storage systems work. Everything is kept on that company's data servers, and that's how you're accessing information through the internet to access everything, all the data that they have on you. Does that kind of make sense? Tim, man.
Imaginary things we're talking about.
Huh? okay, so Facebook, yeah, Google Docs. You guys use Google Docs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like school or just personal?
School. School.
School. Okay. What class? Everything.
I use it for my business class, 25 winter.
Business 25 winner?
Yeah, it's for engineer groups. Yeah, your group project.
Gotcha.
So you use Google Docs and then access edited. So we all can work on one page, so we can work on pages and then combine together.
Gotcha.
You have one page.
Okay, cool, cool. You wasn't the lazy one in the group, were you?
No.
No? Sure.
I got the most difficult part, in my opinion.
But that still doesn't mean you're
I wasn't lazy.
I gotta ask these questions, man. Okay, so like I say, cloud storage is like pretty much growing and becoming huge right now. One of the big things now is AWS. You guys heard of that term before, AWS?
No.
How many people heard of AWS before?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen like certain commercials and it says like powered by AWS at the end?
Watch
TV.
There's a skip button.
I'm sorry. You guys don't watch TV. What do you guys? Is this Netflix, Hulu,
Fire Stick?
What did
you say? You don't have ads and you watch Netflix, so that's why.
You
don't see those commercials.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you guys see like movie previews and stuff?
I look on YouTube for that, bro.
Yeah, I don't know what movie's out there right now.
I've been known without movies for a long time.
Wow.
What?
Who's okay.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Okay. So AWS stands for Amazon Web Service. Right. Have you guys heard of that before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So Amazon Web Service is basically now that the way that they're kind of their business and their structure is set up, is they're providing like people with access to, for basically Amazon to host and run their web service, their web applications. So if you wanted to start a business, right, but necessarily you don't have kind of the technical skills to be able to actually obtain like a working kind of web server to be able to host applications and sell things. Like you can basically set up one through Amazon and pay them monthly or yearly, and everything will run through Amazon. So they take care of all your websites, your servers, like they can even do your customer service and things like that. But basically you'll just be paying them to run your business, and it will run as like a top level business. Like nobody wouldn't be able to tell that it's just you kind of running the business by yourself, like hiring Amazon. So that's kind of like the beauty of it. It allows people access to technology information that they normally wouldn't have, but they're just paying Amazon to be able to run their business and their site and things like that.
How expensive is that since you're having them run all your stuff? Like,
it depends. Depends on how much they're actually doing. If they're actually running the software too, because there's different tiers of levels of like what you can pay for. Just depends on what you want them to actually do. But it can be pretty expensive if you want them to do everything. But if they're taking care of everything, that does take a lot off of you.
So do they like build your website? Like you would tell them how you would want it to look and be set up, and they do it, or?
They could, yes. That would be more. Technical than that, but they could set that up for you. They can set up the web application for you so that, like I say, if people are filling out applications or doing things like that, that they can set it up and run it for you. Yeah. But as far as how you would submit it to them, like I say, maybe not drawing it out, but no, but yeah, in that way, you can like basically kind of use a, like a template.
Right.
To show them kind of how you want things done.
So can you just go to like Amazon website server.com or something, or how do you get
so that? If you search AWS, let's see. So if you go to aws.amazon.com, this is kind of like their base or their main page, to where you can, like say, start putting things together and seeing what they can offer. Like I said, it tells you all the different products that they have. Like I said, it's maybe kind of technical information, but just depends on what you're trying to actually do. You can just, you know, if you're interested in like a media service, you can kind of from there see some of the different things that they offer. If you're trying to store media, stream some media, and things like that. And you can look at the different packages that they're offering, that they're selling. And that's how you would basically kind of set up your system. And like this advertisement here, Capital One, Reimages Banking using AWS. So Capital One is taking advantage of Amazon's web service in order to host and do some of their things. Like I said, a lot of businesses are going this route just because it's a lot easier to pay somebody else to do what they're good at and do what they have the technology and capacity to do than you try to do it yourself. And I know it costs money, but like I say, for people who have money, this is definitely an easier solution. We'll go here and then we'll go there.
If AWS were to like go down like due to some reason, would all those other like websites also
correct go down? Yeah. So it is a lot of responsibility on Amazon, but you know, Amazon is Amazon and they're you know, are able to handle it, you know what I mean? Rihanna?
Can you go to the price and see what like they start at?
How much are you trying to spend? Let me see. So they have some different options. So it kind of depends on what you were trying to do. Let me see if this shows up. So this is like for storage. So if you wanted to use Amazon to kind of store some data, store information, region. You don't have Southern California? What kind of stuff is this? That's Northern Cal. This is Southern. Okay, so we'll see that. Yeah, so your standard storage for the first 50 terabytes per month. It'll be that per gigs, 26. It doesn't look like a lot. It definitely adds up. Depending on state of, on the data and the storage. But yeah, it has all the prices and things. Just depends on, like I say, what it is you're actually trying to do. But like I say, a lot of businesses are going this route. Using Amazon, paying Amazon to host their data, store their data, do all types of things. One of the cool things that we're doing now is because this big thing of Amazon Web Service, AWS, is like really huge and a lot of people are like into it and interested in it. Amazon is actually looking for people and they kind of created this certification. And the certification deals with like four courses where you're able to take the four courses, take the exam for it. And then you become AWS certified, where you can work for Amazon, work on certain AWS projects. And we're actually starting to offer those certifications here. It starts in the fall semester, where we're offering one of the courses. Like I say, you take the first part of the AWS certification. Then the next semester, you can take the next class. And like I say, it's only four classes. But being certified by Amazon AWS like opens up a lot of doors and opportunities. Where you can get a job working, like I said, with Amazon, for Amazon, and basically doing the same things that, you know, we're just talking about in here, like running a web service, helping someone else set the web service up. It's a really, really huge, big thing now. Cloud storage, AWS, it's really huge right now. A lot of job opportunities in there. If you ever just search on, like, LinkedIn, Indeed, like those job sites, and just search and see, like, if they're looking for AWS, you see a lot of jobs are looking for, like, AWS certifications or people have the skills and knowledge of AWS. So it's a really, if you're interested in that, like, you can let me know, and I can give you some more information on that if you're interested to kind of get you started with that. And so, like, AWS, their competitor, in a sense, is Microsoft Azure. So that's like Microsoft version of their web service. And it's pretty much kind of similar to Amazon, except Amazon is just bigger right now, and it's able to do more than Microsoft's Azure. But in a sense, they can kind of both be used to do the same things. The pricing is probably a little different, but like I say, AWS is, right now it's bigger than Microsoft Azure. But in a sense, they're both cloud storage systems that allow you to be able to run. They can create, you know, the same things that Amazon can create for you, and run those for you also. Right. Any questions on that? No? Okay. All right, so that's just showing some examples. Cloud storage, we should be good there. So it talks about smart cards. Another way to store information, store data. And smart cards are basically just like cards that have some smart technology involved in it. Some of you guys may use them at your job, at work, to kind of gain entry into certain areas at work. You should use your card, swipe it, or, you know, put it in a slot, and you're able to have access that way. That's basically what a smart card is. It's not anything too technical that you guys haven't heard of or seen before. And then another slide talking about AWS, and just like say how it's growing, supposed to double. Like I said, it's a pretty huge thing right now. You guys have seen this logo before, right? AWS, it's smiley. No. Okay. Interesting. Let's skip that. So one of the things it talks about is a RAID system. RAID system is really, really simple. It's basically a system that's used mostly for kind of backing up data. And the way that it works is like this system kind of connected together, hard drives, things like that. And the way that it works is it can work in two ways. It can copy like everything you're doing, all the data, onto another hard drive separately so that it's all together, but just in another place. Or it can work as where it like splits things in half. So it takes the data and kind of breaks it up. You put part of it here and part of it here. So it's not all together in one place, but in a sense, you can access it all together. So this slide kind of makes more sense of it. So let's say you're taking these annual reports here. And so if you're using the stripping technique, then it basically takes the annual report and kind of breaks it in half. And so part of it will go on this drive, the other part goes on that drive. The mirror technique is where it takes basically that annual report and attaches a copy on both of those itself. But that's how a RAID system works. That's how some companies back up their data, store their data, using a RAID system that you don't have to like do this manually every time. It's just whatever you're doing, it automatically gets copied to other drives and other files. So it's a way of backing up storing your data. And this is just kind of showing what one RAID system looks like. This is the Drobo. And you can see kind of the hard drives in there. Like I said, you just set that up, connect it to your computer, and it automatically does it for you. Automatically copies all the data onto these drives there. And like I say, based on if it's mirror or stripping, it'll automatically do that for you so that you never have to do it. But what happens is it comes in play, like if, let's say, one of the big things like this past couple years was like ransomware. You guys heard of that before? Ransomware? Somebody?
Someone takes your data and tells you, hey, if you want back the thing.
Definitely. So that's okay. Ransomware. Where basically a hacker or attacker breaks into your system, takes your data, and encrypts it so that you don't have access to it. So they basically take your data and they put their own password on all of your data, and then they charge you to get your data back. They're holding your information at ransom. There's usually a message that pops up that says, if you want your data back, pay us this amount of money. Each day is going to increase. And some businesses are forced to pay that if they don't have like a good backup system. If you have your data backed up, then you don't pay the ransom. You just kind of start from where your last backup was. But if you don't have a backup system in place, then you're kind of forced, right? Because there's no way to get your data back outside of paying these people this money. But then even that doesn't guarantee that you're going to get your data back.
So does have to be connected to paper?
It's connected, but it's separate in a sense. It is connected. Sometimes it can be like through internet, through online. Other times it can actually be a cable.
Right.
But to still like kind of physically have that data, it's they shouldn't have access to that if someone was to attack your system. But yeah, so that's like a kind of a big thing now, ransomware. They hit a lot of hospitals, a lot of like offices, dentist office. Some even banks got hit. Some companies got hit twice because they never fixed their system. It's crazy. But ransomware is like a huge thing. Attacking businesses. They're not really doing that to people because people don't have that type of money that they actually benefits them. But a lot of businesses, companies, definitely are getting hit with that. Okay. Skip over that. An online photo sharing site is an example of a what?
B, cloud storage.
So B, cloud storage, true or false, more cards that we hold at least. We didn't go over that, but that's false. That's pretty much it for chapter 3 though. Like I said, the main thing is knowing, understanding the different types of technology, magnetic, optical, flash, understanding kind of some of the characteristics of those, how those work. I'm understanding some of the characteristics of a storage medium, storage device. Those are kind of the main concepts from this chapter. Are there any questions? Cool.